This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hun Demarest, CPA with Parmelis and Associates. So this week, we're going to cover a couple of different topics, but they all start with the same question. Do I need to create a new entity for my new location? Do I need to create a new entity for my new department, my new holding company? Or just to answer the overall question, should I create a new entity or that? Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your business? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And lastly, but surely not leastly, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give ProMotive a call. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news, you don't have to go at it alone. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. When it comes down to deciding if you should create an entity on this, like always, I have to give you a precursor. I'm going to remind you again at the end, but this episode is not meant to be legal advice. This episode is honestly not even meant to be accounting advice. This is to get your brain working of the different questions and the intricacies of this. If you want to look at this from one aspect, the strictly legal aspect of this, you're going to get one answer. If you want to look at this from a tax aspect of it, it might be telling you to do something else. The whole point of this week's is to show you guys that there is three distinct areas that you need to look at. And again, depending on where you live, what you're trying to do, who is owning this stuff, how much legal liability you think is out there, it's probably going to give you a different answer to all of these. What might be right for you might not be right for me, and a lot of this does come down to opinion. But with that being said, let's get into how we analyze these different situations. The same idea, I mean, and this shouldn't be the same because all of these have a limitless amount of variations to it. But when we look at kind of these three distinct scenarios on there, we're going to be looking for three distinct aspects of this. Based on the scenario, what is the ownership? Because ownership is a big thing that's going to change your decision. What are the legal liability or legal implications of this? And then lastly on this, what are the tax implications or tax liability look like? Because if we're creating an entity, if we're changing an entity, if we're moving stuff around, if it doesn't make any difference for legal or tax implications on it and ownership is not going to change, then what is the cost? Does it make sense? Like I said, we're going to take a look at these three different factors and apply them to a couple different situations most commonly faced by shop owners like you. The first one that we're going to go into is the most common one and probably the reason I'm doing this episode. I've been asked about this the last couple of days. I actually wanted to do a different topic for this week on it, but here we are. So the question starts something like this. Hey, Hunt, I'm looking at opening up a second location, maybe third location, maybe fourth location, whatever it is. I've been talking with some people and they are split on the fence. Some people say I should not create this new entity under my existing one and I should create a brand new one. And some people are telling me the exact opposite and I should just run all of this under my existing entity. Hunt, I'm opening up another location. And for this one, let's be specific. Hunt, I am opening up a second location. Should I create a new entity for that? So this is the question. Got a new location, going from one location to two. Should I create a new entity for that? So again, I am not giving you an answer. If you're sitting here saying, Hunt, I'm the one asking that question, whatever you're about to tell me I'm going to go with, we still don't know enough. We're not going to talk about how big you are. We're not going to talk about profit on here. We're not going to talk about what state you're in. And we're not, to a certain extent, going to look at some of the legal or some of the just overall cost of this stuff. But this is all the way that you should be starting to unpack this and ultimately talking with a professional. If I'm your accountant, probably going to be talking to me or one of my team members. If I'm not your accountant, you should be talking to your accountant. On the other side of this, right? I am not your lawyer, whether you're a client or not. So you need to be talking to your lawyer. And if you say, Hunt, I don't have one, then you need to find one. These are absolutely decisions that you can make on your own. They are not decisions you should make on your own. Let's start with ownership because this is the easiest one on here. And really the ownership conversation is going to be the same for all of these different situations. If you want to start a new entity, So let's say that this one right now, we're imagining that I, Hunt, the auto repair shop owner, is going to go buy another location. The way that it would look for ownership situation is you can only run this business under the same entity if you have the same ownership percentage. If I own 100% of this one in the second location I want to own 100% of, then there is no reason for me to choose one versus the other. However, let's say that I have a partner on this existing location and I don't want to have that partner on a new location or vice versa. Hey, I own 100% of this one, but I don't want the ownership to be exactly the same on the other one. Then you need to create a new entity. The only time that you can have all of this under one umbrella or all of this under the same entity is if ownership is the same, right? It goes the opposite. If all of these are under the same umbrella, the ownership is going to be the same because there is no separation. If you have three locations all owned by one LLC, there's only one way to split that out. Whoever owns the LLC is going to own those three locations. If you want to have three different locations, all with three different ownership percentages on there or three different ownership groups, then you're going to need to have three different entities. The way that I look on this on ownership is probably not even really a decision. I mean, I guess it's a decision if you want to get some people out of your ownership group on this. But a lot of times ownership is the first one because it sometimes makes your decision for you. I have an existing shop right now. I'm bringing on a 50-50 partner for the new one. Hey, I could probably have a lot of arguments that we're about to talk about on a legal or tax side of this, but it doesn't matter. You have different ownership on this, so this new one is going to be a new entity. And again, this is, and we're going to reinforce this when talking about other situations, but if at this point you say to yourself, no, Hunt, this is going to be the same ownership, even whether it's going to be only you or the same ownership group owning this one, owning the other one, if the ownership is going to be the same on it, then we can go to 2 and 3, which are the legal and tax implications of this. If you want to look at this, and let's start with the tax implications. So in most situations on it, whether you have this under one entity or if you had this under two separate entities, the tax implications are going to be exactly the same. So let's use this for example, and let's say, Hunt, I want to have an S-Corp and I want to buy another shop. What is my tax benefit if I have two S-Corps? So if you have one S-Corp and it's combined, let's say that it shows $200,000 of net income. And let's say you have two S-Corporations. All that's going to do is it's going to report $100,000 of net income on one, $100,000 of net income on the other. Remember, whether you're an LLC, partnership, S-Corporation, all of this is flowing through to you. So whether you get one K-1 or 10 K-1s, it doesn't matter. Your tax rates in most situations are going to be identical if you separate these or you keep them together. So you're saying, Hunt, if there's no benefit from an ownership standpoint and there's no benefit from a tax standpoint, why would I do this? So the big reason that you would be creating a separate entity for opening up another location would really be, obviously, if you have different ownership, you have to. You do not have a choice. But the big argument on the other side of this is a separate entity going to give me more legal protection? And a lot of people would argue yes. If you are doing this and you're creating a legal liability or you're creating a separate legal entity for legal protection, who do you think you should be asking about that? Do you think you should be asking me? Do you think you should be asking your friends? Or do you think that you should be asking a lawyer? You absolutely should be asking a lawyer because there is a large argument, and I don't think that anyone listening to this, anyone practicing would argue that having separate entities would give you less legal protection. There are a number of people that will argue that it's going to give you more legal protection. There is a group, and a pretty large group, and depending on what state you're in, that would probably argue you have separate entities, but if you and your partner own all of these, if you were to get sued, they're going to name this shop, they're going to name that shop, they're going to name the holding company, they're going to name your real estate, they're going to name your brother in a lawsuit. What most people argue is, yes, it is going to help you to have this legal protection. How much is really to be determined. So if you're looking at this and you're saying, Hunt, there might be legal protection on here. There is really not a choice if we have ownership issues and there's not a whole lot of tax implications. How would I make the decision if this makes sense for me? First and foremost, there is no right decision here. If you're going to look at my multi-shop operators, I would say half of them operate under one umbrella and half of them have separate entities. What is the easiest, simple format that I break it down and I tell my clients on this? The way that I look at this is I look at this as, hey, from a tax standpoint, there is no benefit. So as your CPA, I got to give you how it's going to affect you from a financial perspective. So you are going to be paying me more or less twice as much. We're doing two sets of financials. We're doing two tax returns. We're keeping two sets of books on this. You almost doubled our work. For our clients that have multiple locations, you know that your fees with us do not double because there is some synergy on here, but there is a much, much, much higher cost of operating a completely separate entity than there is having one. If you have two locations owned under one entity, you probably have one insurance policy. If you have two locations with two entities, I guarantee you, you have two insurance policies, two payroll subscriptions, two shop management software subscriptions. So there is a very, very large or not insignificant expense by adding another freestanding entity. What comes down to this is you need to talk with your lawyer, your professional team. You need to see what your kind of risk exposure is. And the big thing that on here that we're looking at is what is the perceived legal protection and what is the administrative cost associated with that? And again, even when you look down, you could have a different appetite for risk. Creating another LLC or creating another entity on here is just like buying an insurance plan. If I was to offer you an insurance plan that was going to cost you $1 and was going to cover anything under the sun, you would be crazy not to buy that. If I was to offer you the same insurance policy for $1 million, you would probably have some pause on that. Looking at entity choices and deciding between the two is probably exactly the same. How much cost do I know I'm going to incur on a monthly basis from administrative, legal, to maintain these separate entities? And do I think that that is good value to minimize the risk on it? Generally, what you end up looking at on this is saying, we're going to have these additional costs, but from what I want to do, it's going to make me sleep better at night to have that. Some of my other clients that run this as a combined entity on here say, I'm going to mitigate my risk by having an umbrella policy, and my insurance and my legal team says that this is going to achieve similar results and cost me less money. At the end of the day, I want my clients to do what they think is best for them with all of the information at their disposal. These are all conversations that I have with my client, and I have people that make an argument either side of this. I am not going to be the one to decide this, and your lawyer is probably not going to be the one to decide this either, but they should be the ones giving you the information to be able to make an informed decision on that. The end of this, if you are creating another entity, or if you're buying another shop on this, it could go either ways, and it's about 50-50 in the real world on if people use the same entity or create a new one. And the big thing that you're weighing is there is some legal protection. There's some separation of liability, but at what cost? And this is the balancing act that you're playing. That one is probably the most in-depth example, and there's going to be some core ideas on there, like I mentioned, that are going to go along with these other ones that we're going to talk about here.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
The second most common question that's asked on this, and this is probably a combination of two, but Hunt, I am planning on buying the building that I'm renting. Should I create a new entity for that? And is your same answer if I was going to do the same with some loaner cars or rental cars of renting those to myself? I'm putting these together because these are both the same thing. You are renting something from yourself that you could argue that you're just all owning together, or you could separate into it a separate entity. The reason I'm going to say that, yeah, these are the same, but I want to look at them different is I probably have the opposite advice for you. Whether you're renting a building from yourself or you're renting loaner cars, rental cars from yourself, the ownership question is still exactly the same. If the same people own the building or the loaner cars own the shop, then you still have a choice to run them combined or separate. Right there, if you have a separate investor for the real estate that doesn't own your shop, you've already made your decision. You're going to have a separate entity. let's look at the legal liability and the legal implications on this. And I think that what you have here is the exact same argument. Splitting out your real estate or splitting out your loaner cars is never going to guarantee you that you have more legal protection, but it's going to guarantee you that you don't have less. How could separating these assets hurt the cause on it? Again, I can see the argument that this might not do any good, but it does not do any harm from a legal implication side of this. Now, lastly, let's look at this on tax implications. And this is where these two start to spread apart. The tax implications on creating a separate LLC or separate entity for your real estate are that it has no negative effects. It has no positive effects, but it has no negative effects. So if we look at this and say, hey, there is no downside to the legal protection. If anything, we could have some benefits on this. And as long as my ownership is the same, we could have no way that we could have negative tax implications. For setting up a separate entity for a new piece of real estate, we almost always say yes. Do not run that under your same entity that you have your shop, because it's not helping us on taxes. It's not helping us on anything. And it could benefit from a legal standpoint. Hunt, if you're telling me that there is no downside to doing this for rental real estate, why are you about to tell me that you have a different answer for loaner cars? The reason that there's a different answer for loaner cars is renting personal property, which is what we call equipment or loaner cars and stuff like that, is different than renting real property. And so renting real estate is considered different than renting either stuff like loaner cars, tools, anything really. And the big difference really has to do with two things: self-employment tax and sales tax. Outside of the state of Florida, you don't get charged sales tax for paying rent to yourself. So if you want to pay yourself rent from your shop to your holding company on it, you can have money passing back and forth. You're really just either going to be reporting income here or over there. So again, there is no downside to separating these entities. In Florida, I get it. You guys pay sales tax on rent too. A couple of you states, they're trying to do it for you guys as well. But generally, there is no consideration on sales tax if you're paying rent to yourself for real estate. It could not be more different for loaner cars. Again, this is where it gets really complicated on this. Some states have different rules if you're doing daily rentals versus long-term leases on this. However, almost all states and municipalities want you guys to be charging yourself sales tax on your loaner cars. This is probably the biggest thing that wipes out the benefit for most people is they say to yourself, well, Hunt, I'm trying to have this separate entity for legal protection. It didn't cost me much to set up. It doesn't really cost me much to maintain, but every single month I'm giving $300 to $400 to the state or the county because I have to pay sales tax on myself. That pretty quickly comes pretty expensive and might outweigh some of the perceived benefits that we have. The other aspect of this is if I have someone that's argued me on the loaner car and the sales tax side of it is they say, well, Hunt, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive on sales tax. Since I'm the one charging to myself and I'm the one paying it, maybe I'm just going to roll the dice and if they catch me, they catch me. I can see that argument too, and I don't disagree with it. You are guilty until they prove otherwise on here, but remember the whole reason that you are doing the separate entity. The whole reason that you're doing this separate entity is to hopefully be able to have legal protection. If a lawyer comes and looks at this and says, you are not charging yourself a fair market value for the repairs, you are not paying sales tax on this, which would be customary if you're making an arm's length transaction, and this business does not stand on its own, you just had all the extra headache, all the extra costs, all the extra administrative headaches of having a separate entity. But unless you do this correctly and truly at arm's length, it's all for nothing. That's where the big difference is between renting real property or renting your building from yourself and renting personal property or renting the cars. It is very, very, very easy and almost a no-brainer to do on real estate. And once you have a lease set up, you are doing that legal and there is an arm's length business. However, if I was to say the amount of loaner car businesses that I see operating correctly that I think a lawyer couldn't blow up pretty quickly in the case of a lawsuit, I would say of my clients, 20% of them are doing it correctly and 80% of them are just going through the motions. For loaner cars or really any entity out there, setting up the entity is not enough to give you the protection. If you are going to set that up as a separate entity, you need to operate as such. So that goes for second locations or really any of this stuff. Guys, remember, like, don't try to be smart on this. You can't just say, oh, look, I did some paperwork. No lawyer is ever going to be able to uncover this. If it looks like you're doing self-dealing, if there is not a paper trail on this, I don't care what legal stuff you have set up, they're going to blow a hole in it and say, hey, you tried to have these separate, you weren't doing this, it's all commingled, nice try, we're suing everyone and anyone. If you want to go to another location on this, 50-50, there's some arguments on this, do use your best judgment. If you want to buy a building on it, I'm going to say probably going to need to set up a new entity. Pretty strong on that you probably should do that. Loaner cars, again, personal preference on this. What is your risk tolerance? Are you willing to operate this correctly? What did your insurance agent say? What did your lawyer say on it? But again, I probably have the argument the other way that I probably would recommend against it. Save yourself some money. Use your insurance. Use an umbrella policy. And again, if you are going to do this, if you're already doing this stuff arm's length, talk to your lawyer. Make sure that you are protected. The last thing that I want to see on this is someone paying me more money to do more taxes or see my clients pay more money to their insurance and are not actually getting the protection that they think. So if you are doing this, if you are doing this for a purpose on it, always do a check on that to make sure you are really getting the benefit and not just having some extra administrative cost. The last one on here is related to this stuff, but maybe a catch-all and kind of the last little one that we do see a good bit is, hey, hon, I have multiple different businesses, right? I got a towing company. I got my loaner car set up. I got a couple different locations. Should I have a management company to serve as an umbrella for all of my businesses? The management company idea is something that you can run kind of two different ways. So there's one idea that you have a management company, and that management company is truly the holding company of all of your other businesses down below. And in that situation, you obviously would have to see if the ownership is the same because the ownership of all those individual ones are now going to be transferred to the management company. This is a very, very good thing for people that have a very convoluted or far-reaching ownership structure that all comes back to one spot. If for whatever reason you want to report this all in one spot and create it under umbrella, there is some argument that it does simplify things. I will tell you, to consolidate these all under one umbrella, what does that do to your tax implications? Probably nothing. There is some argument that if you have a bunch of losers and you group them together with a bunch of winners, that those kind of counteract, but it's a weird way to solve that problem. There's a lot of other things. Now, what do you think that that does to the legal liability of this? Do you think that that could help you by combining all of these? Again, if they're all separate LLCs, they still stand on their own. But I can't see an argument that I would agree with that says combining all these is going to help us have legal protection. Again, I can see the argument that it can't hurt, but there's no way it can help. The most common way that we have seen a management company work in the past is it's generally owned separately. It's outside of this. And in the past, it was almost always a C corporation. The reason of why these are a C corporation is whether you know it or not, if you have 5-6 different LLCs, all with common ownership, a lot of times from a benefits perspective, you are still treated as a combined group. Because while they're all separate entities, they all have combined ownership and it all goes to the same place. Pre-2018, there were some strategies out there that made sense to create an unrelated C corporation to pay some management fees to use for life insurance, different owner perks and things like that. We do not see very many of these management companies anymore. With the tax law changes that came out in 2018 and the flat tax or C corporation, it stopped a little bit of an opportunity for tax savings for most small businesses. There's still an argument if you are willing to pay enough on this and your tax liability is high enough to have a separate management company. And with some of the changes coming out here now, it could make sense. But in general, for most people, it's a case-by-case basis. The big thing that I generally go down to on this is if you are keeping combined financials for all of this stuff, I would probably argue that the tax return is filed in the same exact way. If you keep 6 different financials for this one, I wouldn't recommend filing the combined tax return. It's a massive amount of work for your accountant. We don't like doing them. And then again, if you're having all these separate, you have all the benefits of having them separate. There would have to be a big argument for me to go and combine these. Is this something that you cannot undo? Can you separate stuff that you've been combined and can you combine stuff that you've been separately? Within reason, this is not generally a one-way street. That being said, all this stuff has a cost. all of this stuff has other implications to this. So at the end of the day, is this meant to give you all the answers? Absolutely not. And this is meant to give you the right questions to be asking your accountant, your lawyer, and the rest of your professional team. The trickier part about all of this is that you all have different cost-benefit analysis. An entity choice for your friend that's in another state may not be the right choice for you and your business. So do your research and make informed decisions. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.